or your phone or whatever you're using. If you're doing it by memory, shoot to that. John 17. You understand that Wednesday and Thursday was Yom Kippur for Israel, the Day of Atonement. And this is really, in my estimation, a strong atonement prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. There's discussion among many theologians as to where this prayer took place. Some think it might have been in the upper room prior to the crucifixion. Some think it was on the way to Gethsemane. I think it was outside because he lifted up his eyes to heaven. I don't think he was just looking at the ceiling. I think they were walking. They heard him pray this on the walk to Gethsemane. And then he goes into Gethsemane and has private prayer. But I can't give you chapter and verse. I can only say that's my best evaluation of where this happened. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. The purpose of God doing something in your life is that he gets the glory and that others would see it and they give the glory to him, not to you. Since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. I've addressed this before. I challenge you or I encourage you to go through this chapter 17, this the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and look at the number of times. Is at least five times he says, you've given them to me. You're a gift from the Father to the Son. Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Slater accomplished his. He's gone to be with the Lord. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me. There it is, a second time at least. Out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now, they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. This next verse might shock some of you. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. Jesus knows where this world is going. He knows how the end is going to come. He will not dictate or overrule the will of individuals. He says, I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those that you gave me out of the world. We're commanded as disciples to pray for the world, to pray for those that haven't come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Why the difference? Because he knew. I don't. I'm commanded to pray because I don't know who down the street is yet to be called and be saved. So I'm commanded to pray. I'm commanded to love my neighbor as myself, to love my enemies. But Jesus knew who was for him and who was against him. And he knew the end of all things. Amen? So we need to be clear. You know, Jesus is praying for the world. No, he's not. He deliberately says, I'm not praying for the world. But I'm praying for those that you gave me out of the world. You're being prayed for. Not just here in this chapter. But he lives to make intercession for you and I. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. There's something to chew on for the next 30 years. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, And get this. Jesus said, I am glorified in them. If there's anything that drives us to walk in love with Him and allow Him to do things in our life, it's because He gets glory in you. That is just explodes our minds. I am no longer in the world, but they're in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one, the Day of Atonement. Okay. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The idea, but lost except. In the old King James, it uses the but except. The son of perdition. This is disjunctive participle, and it contrasts two different elements belonging to different classes. Judas wasn't in the same class as the disciples, though he was called as a disciple, but he was only called to fulfill Scripture. But he was not a true disciple. There's a difference between a professor, and I'm not talking about somebody in college. We're talking about Landon and his computer science class and that particular professor. We're not talking about that kind of professor. We're talking about those who claim something, but they don't possess it. It's one thing to talk about Jesus. It's another thing to possess Him and be possessed by Him. Are you with me? There's a difference. Judas was a professor, but he wasn't a possessor. He was among those. It says, in that day there will be many that come and say, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not do this in your name? And Jesus says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I forgot your name? No. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew your name. Okay. So, There are stuff that's happening in the name of Jesus, and it may or may not be done by people that possess Him and are possessed by Him. And that's for Jesus to figure out, not for me. You know? He doesn't evaluate us by the work we do. He evaluates us by the fruit of our life. You know? I saw a thing the other day that this guy was asking an Amish man. He says, are you in fact a Christian? He says, go ask my neighbor. It's a good answer. You know, you can profess something, but other people may look at you and say, I don't see that. He says, ask my neighbor. Verse 14, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. There's at least two or three times in Scripture that men of God prayed that their life would end, that they'd be taken out of the world. Job, Jonah, and Moses. And God didn't grant them that prayer. He says, no, you're on a mission. You do this. You know, he says, I don't ask that you take them out of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. Listen, we'll get into that. Verse 16. They're not of the world just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only. Do something with that verse. The first five verses, Jesus is praying for himself. 6 to 19, he's praying for the 11. This statement opens it up to all who believe. This includes you. Everything he's praying for the disciples now is applicable to you. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's me. That's you. What Jesus has prayed for the 11 extends now to you. That they may all be one, Day of Atonement, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So the world, here's the purpose, so the world may believe that you have sent me. My life isn't supposed to testify to me. It's supposed to testify to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Not will give. And to understand this, you've got to go back to Romans 8, verses 28, 29, 30. That whom he did foreknow, he did call. And whom those that he called, he's redeemed. And those that, and he's already glorified. I'm waiting for my body to catch up and my soul to catch up to what's been done in my spirit. This is past tense. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one even as we are one. Day of Atonement. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you've loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am and to see the glory that you have given me. Slater is doing that right now. What I'm hoping for, he is experiencing right now. Because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be with them and I in them. This is the first in how many, I don't know yet, of a series of messages on Bible prayers. We often refer to the Lord's Prayer as being Matthew 6. But that's really the disciples' prayer. They came to Jesus. Would I like one? I would love one. I do. Take two just in case. Thank you. You're my friend and you're not a fisherman, but it's a fisherman's friend. The disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. John teaches his disciples, John the Baptist, teach us to pray. And he says, okay, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. And forgive us our... Listen, Jesus never had to pray that. This is that's the disciples' prayer taught to them by Jesus. This, John 17, is you reading what the Lord prayed. There's a difference. I don't make issue with it. You want to call Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer? Millions do. But I want you to understand, this is what Jesus prayed before the cross. We're going to look at a number of prayers in Scripture. Romans 8:34 says, who condemns? Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. There's a continued ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, Jesus is praying for you. Each and every one of us, individually in this room, right now, only God can do this. Is praying for you. John, you're being prayed for right now. Your dear wife is being prayed for right now, even though she's, you know, miles and miles away. He's not praying for Slater, because Slater's there, beholding him in all of his glory. And when we see him, we shall be like him. this is so incredible. This is God revealing His will through His Son for you and I right now. Hebrews 7:25, consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He... Oh, gee. I got fisherman's car, and I got coffee, and I got water. And in a few moments, because Tim will catch me on that. A little later, we're going to have communion, and I'll have some juice. God is intimately concerned with you, personally. All factors of redemption are included in this prayer. 17:2 is salvation. 17:6 is the manifestation of the presence of God in the midst of man. 17:9, the representation of God. 17:12, preservation. 17:17 to verse 19, sanctification. 17:21, identification. 17:22, glorification. Our Lord makes at least 7 requests in this prayer. 17:1, glorify the Son. 17:5, restoration of His original glory. This is the awesome wonder of God. The Jesus Christ, God, came in the flesh. And when He laid aside His deity to become man, He became reliant on prayer. We need to be people of prayer. Restoration of His original glory. 17 verses 11 and 15, protection of believers. 17:17, sanctification again. 5:17-21, be a world witness. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for those given to Him by the Father out of the world to be given to Him. But you and I don't know who that is. So we go and we make a witness to the world. And then God deals with it. 17:21-23, unification, oneness with Him, atonement. And then 17:24, glorification. 5 benefits of salvation are listed in this prayer. 17:2, eternal life. 17:6 and 26, we have the use of the Father's name. You know, our Father who art in heaven. We're able to call Him Father. 17:3 and 14, we receive the Father's words. 17:13, we receive His joy. And 17:22, His own glory. And the list can keep going. If you think about Romans 8:32, it says, He who withheld not His own Son from us, but gave Him up freely to us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? You know? And how our young friend in Mexico understands that, that God will provide. Well, He'll use you and I, but God's going to move upon our hearts. The Lord prays for Himself, major point number one. John 17:1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. The Greek word there is dizasko, which is, there it is. What does that first part remind you of? If you were to say doxology, you'd be right. You know, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. He says, Father, glorify Me. And notice, Father, the hour has come, glorify a Son? The Son? No, Your Son. He's not an angel. He's not one of many. He's one. He's the Father's only begotten Son. You know? 2 John 17:2. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. You have eternal life if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because the Father gave you to the Son. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. You know? Now listen, I'm not an extreme Calvinist, nor am I an Arminius. And for those that are young in faith and they know what those terms mean, you know, the Calvinists believe that some were made to go to heaven and some were made to go to hell. Well, I don't believe that. And Arminius believes that your free will is so strong you can accept Christ that you can decide to reject him. I don't believe that. Well, Pastor, what do you believe? I'm a neitherist. I don't believe in either of those things. I believe that God knew you before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1. You were chosen in Christ Jesus when? Forget about before you're born, as Helen said, before the foundation of the world. He saw you. He knew you. He knew how you would respond to the gospel. He knew that when you heard the gospel, you would receive it. And he sealed you. And in that sealing, he gives you to the Son. Wow! That's my version of amen. Amen simply means say it again. Do you get that? This is profound. He knows where you were then before the foundation world. Can I tell you, he knows where you are now. 17:3. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life, Pastor John? I don't know. I can't explain it all to you, but I know this. That eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How do you explain eternal life? What is eternal? You know? It's having your last day and then waking up the next day. Except that's only true in the material realm. Time is only relevant to the physical realm. God is spirit, and you've been born again. And when you see him, you're going to be like him. You're not going to be subject to time. Hello? That's confusing. That's a whole study in itself. You know? You're going to praise him for 10,000 years or more. There'll be no years. I don't understand all of it, but I know this, that to know him is to know the Father, and that is eternal life. Amen? The Ancient of Days. There's a verse of Scripture. I'm going to deal with it, I think, next week. There's a particular word in this one prayer psalm I'm going to look at next week with you in our devotional, where the first letter of that word and the last letter of that word are the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the middle letter of that Hebrew word is the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So what? Now we're switching from Hebrew to Greek. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And get this, he's everything in between. And he is that to you. That's eternal life. God for you, redeeming you through the Son, Jesus Christ. He knew your response and gave you to the Son. I want you to go home today and think modestly and clearly about yourself and look in the mirror and say, John, as old and as funny looking as you are a gift from the Father to the Son. That's the truth. Yeah. John 14, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. There's a work for us to do. Slater's is done. He's with the Lord. I'll be here and I'll have enough strength and I'll for as long as I have a task to do for the Lord. And when that's fulfilled, I saw my mom in the nursing home in Kimberly on the start of our holiday. Well, that was tough. Because I knew that 20 minutes after we left, she's going to forget that we were there. She looked at me, she says, how come Dad and Ron haven't been in to see me? Mom, Dad passed away over 12 years ago. Johnny over 6 years ago. John, that's my son. Yeah, Ron, my brother. You know? She remembers the past, but she doesn't remember 20 minutes ago. when my work is done, I want to be able to say, like Paul, I've kept the faith, I've run the race, I'm ready to be offered up. Long ago. I got an asterisk beside this one. It's one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we're at home or away, home isn't where I reside. Home is glory. I'm a visitor here. So whether I'm at home or away, I make it my aim to please him. Give him the glory. John 17:5, this is the wondrous mystery of God in the flesh, very God and yet very man. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Those are his requests for himself. Now he moves to prayers for the 11. John 17:9, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me out of the world. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You are appointed by God in the foreknowledge of God, knowing your response, that you would be brought into his presence. Your will is involved. Whosoever will to the Lord may come. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 17:11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's security. Listen, if God can't keep you, you can't keep you. But he says, you keep them. John 17:13, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Not the joy of man. Happiness is based on situations and circumstances. A little after 4 on Friday, I was not overly happy. The boss came to me and he says, I just got a call from the alarm system. We got a problem with some of our floor freezers. We blew a compressor. 9 units went down. We had to get it all out of there. I had to figure out how to get everything in those floor units into the walk-in freezer in the back. I was not happy. But I still had the potential of walking in the joy of the Lord. There's a difference. And that's true for you and I. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You know? Not everything's going right all the time. But I can still have the joy of the Lord. That's his prayer for them. John 17:15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. God wants to protect you. That you would avoid the snares and the deceit of the adversary. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Again, similar in verse 19. That's sanctification, to be set apart for God. Please remember. Is that in there? Please remember. No. Is it in the bulletin? Okay. Please remember that the word is not limited to the words in the Bible. Take a breath. Please remember the word is not limited to the words in the Bible. The word, according to John 1, is the person Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's words outside the Bible that you can trust. But we're not talking about just the Bible. We're talking about the person Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sanctify them by thy Word. Thy Word is truth. He's not just talking about the words of this. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Amen? That's what sets you apart. The Holy One lives in you. John 17:18, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them. That's a commissioning. Now we go to the last part, and then we get ready for communion. We're running a little behind today, but we had a good prayer time, and we had a couple of glitches, but we made it through. Oh, there it is. Okay. Now, major point number 3. The Lord prays for all believers. I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, only you can answer. Does that extend to you? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you trusting in Him? If you have, with the sincerity of your heart, what He prayed for the disciples, the 11, extends to you. Please let this verse penetrate your soul. What Jesus just prayed for the 11 is here extended to every believer. If you have Bible faith in Jesus Christ, that prayer is extended to you. That is security, joy, protection, sanctification, and commissioning. That's yours, because Jesus prayed it. John 17:21. That they may be one just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That is to be unity. When we get to glory, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Do you understand Scripture? In the Old Testament, you were not supposed to marry outside of your kind. That's why Paul cautions in Corinthians, he says, do not be unequally yoked. Now, what's my point? Listen, we're going to go to a wedding feast in heaven, and we're not going as guests. We're going as the bride. But Jesus can't be wed to something that isn't the same as Him. So you are born again of the Spirit of the living God, that you can be qualified to be His bride. That's staggering. That's unity. For this reason shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become. That's the whole point of what he's praying here. Ephesians 15, he talks about this. And he says, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm not talking about a husband and wife and marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. We're going to be united with Him. How do you put that into words? 17:22, that the glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. We're going to listen to glory that God has, He's putting it on you and I. John 17:23, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfectly one. Perfectly one. Not kind of one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. I want you to understand that whatever pains you're experiencing right now, Jesus has a love for you that exceeds our understanding. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, that you may that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. You're gifted to the Son. I desire that they also whom you have given me. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. If you've genuinely accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a gift from the Father to the Son, and you are going to behold His glory. And you're going to be one with Him. That's wild. My conclusion is simple. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How many believe that Jesus prayed according to the will of the Father? Then if he prayed according to the will of the Father, he was heard. And if he is heard, his petition is granted. These things are available to you because Jesus prayed it. Now, John, learn how to walk in it. The high priest prays only for his own. Go back and study the Old Testament. The high priest prays for Israel. He prays for those who have come in a redemptive act. Bring in their offering. He prays for them. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has prayed for us. We have available through his prayer security, joy, protection, commissioning, unity, glory, love, and the awesome realization that we have been gifted to the Son from the everlasting Father. With that knowledge, we're going to receive communion now. And we got a communion song. And I'd like you just to look at the conclusion. Just look at those things. And allow the Holy Spirit to quicken to you. These are yours. You know? I had a lady come in to fellowship one Sunday morning when we were pastoring in Weyburn. And I called her by name. And I said, "How are you doing this morning?" She said, "Oh, I got out of bed on the wrong side." I looked at her and I said, "Do me a favor." She says, "Well, if I can." I says, "Go back home, get back into bed, and get out on the right side." And she looked at me and she says, "It is my choice, isn't it?" We have the joy of the Lord available to us. We need to understand God's for us.